We're going to be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and starting at verse 9 in a moment. Verse 9. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and he has gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychius to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will pay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first events, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus ill in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so does Pudens, Linus, and Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please do keep your Bibles open there in 2 Timothy. And let's ask for God's help as we come to his word. Father God, thank you that we've been able to work our way through this letter over the last couple of months. Father, thank you that how clearly you have spoken to us. Our need to guide the gospel, to be ready to suffer, to speak of Jesus. And Father, we pray this morning that we would have ears and hearts that are ready to receive from you one last time from this book. Father, we want to hear from you as you speak into our lives. We pray that you will do this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we come to the last section in 2 Timothy. And a section that in many Bibles, and in the church Bibles, it's got a little title there. That's not part of the original Bible. That's the people who translated the Bible. But it says their personal remarks just before verse 9. And it is good to be reminded that 2 Timothy was originally a personal letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy. In fact, we were told this at the very beginning of the letter, but here we're also reminded of it as well. Please look with me at verse 22. It says there, the Lord be with your spirit. One person talking to Timothy, with your spirit, Timothy. It's a letter to a real person, a person who loves Jesus but was facing opposition in Ephesus because he was a Christian. And it was tough. We've been hearing that time and time again. And so tough that Paul was afraid that Timothy might start giving up on Jesus in some way. But this letter is not just a letter to Timothy, because it's also a letter to us. And we're told this at the very end there, the last few words in verse 22. Grace be with you all. And that you all isn't just one person, it's lots of people, which is fantastic news, because I don't know about you, but the Christian faith can be a struggle today in so many ways. And therefore, God's words to Timothy are God's words to us as well. But this is so much more than just general struggles, because chapter 1 and verse 14, if you just flick back to chapter 1 verse 14, it says this, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. This letter is particularly about the struggles we might face as we guard the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we said, God has been really clear. As we guard the gospel, it will be hard at times when we're faithful to Jesus. You will have hard times from people outside of church. You'll also have hard times from people sometimes from within the church, from people who call themselves Christians, who claim to be part of Jesus' family. And what has God been saying time and time again? Guard. Guard the gospel. And as you do, you will suffer. But you must continue living for Jesus. You must continue speaking of Jesus. And as you do that, as you guard the gospel, people matter. And that's our first point today. As you guard the gospel, people matter. And Paul kicks off with Timothy. Please, back to chapter 4 and verse 9. Speaking to Timothy, do your best to come to me quickly. Timothy, please come to Rome. And this wasn't a jump on a plane job. This would have been weeks of travel. Please come and visit me in this hole that Paul was in, which was prison. Now, I've never been to prison. You might be pleased to hear that about your pastor. But I hear it is an isolating place where you can feel terribly alone. Paul knew this. And this is really helpful because Paul isn't so super spiritual that he couldn't feel lonely. And therefore he asked Timothy, Timothy, please come and visit. And that was a big deal because it was weeks of travel. But that's not all. Please, verse 13, he says there, please bring my winter coat and some of my winter cloak and some of my books. Again, some Christians are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good, are they? Well, that wasn't Paul. He was freezing in prison. Can you bring my cloak, please? But more importantly, Timothy, just please come if you can. As Paul served Jesus, it wasn't a solo mission. He worked alongside other people. God gave Paul Timothy. But that's not all. If you sort of read the whole of the New Testament and see all the different places where Paul talks about other people who he's worked with, there's over 100 people that Paul was working alongside in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of those get mentioned in our verses today. But then think of Jesus as well. The Son of God himself. The Son of God who spoke and the world came into creation. Who spoke and he could just calm a storm. Who could take a single boy's packed lunch and turn it into a meal for 5,000 people. And yet this Jesus came into the world and what did he do? He worked alongside 12 apostles and a bunch of other men, women, and children. Even Jesus chose to work alongside his fellow spiritual brothers and sisters. And if that is true for Jesus, it's also true for Paul. Shouldn't it be true for us? And especially in the context of 2 Timothy, in the context of guarding the gospel. And therefore, as we try to stand for Jesus and his gospel in our little corner of England here, we need each other. I need you. You need me. You need the person who sat in front of you, the person who sat beside you, the person sat behind you. People matter. We're not on guard duty in a solo fashion. Now, if you're trying to guard something and you're by yourself and you fall asleep, that's a problem, isn't it? But we're part of an army, keeping each other awake and on our toes. And it's one of the reasons why church and being part of a church is so important. For guarding the gospel in your own heart. Christians who go for long periods not being plugged into a church will not usually remain Christian for long. We need each other for our own sake, but for each other's sake as well. I need you guys to keep on encouraging me. Mike, keep on preaching the Bible. Plainly and clearly. But not just my speaking. I live in for Jesus as well. We all do. It's not just me, it's all of us. And that takes effort, it takes prayer. It means intentionally getting to know other people in church, especially those perhaps you don't know as well. For some personality types, that can be quite hard. It doesn't mean we have to have a deep and meaningful conversation with everybody every week. Of course it doesn't. But are we taking steps to get beyond the friendly hello? And yes, that does mean we need to be here regularly. We shouldn't be surprised if we don't get to know other people if we're only here once a month. Or after the service is finished, we rush out of the door every week. When I was a younger man, after the church service, I used to find it so uncomfortable talking to people after church. Amanda there, she would be talking to every Tom, Dick and Harry in the whole church building, and there'd be me going, And I just found it awkward. But thinking of Mike Walton as a younger man, how could I guard the gospel and help others to guard the gospel if people didn't matter? So as we guard the gospel, people matter. It's not a solo affair. But this is especially important when some people are openly standing against you and your faith. Please look with me at verse 9 again. Verse 9, do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. A guy called Demas has deserted Paul. And Demas, we hear about him elsewhere. In fact, we get told about him in Colossians. And in Colossians, he was in prison with the Apostle Paul for the gospel. Right, Demas had been going for it for Jesus. He was willing to be in prison. And that's a big deal, isn't it? But now, it's not about what you've done in the past. It's about today. He has deserted Paul. And this isn't about two Christian mates falling out for a while. And that can happen between even the best of Christians. We're told, verse 10, that Demas now loves the world. And remember what that looks like? Please look, just cast your eyes to chapter 3 and verse 1. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, etc., etc. Lovers of the world. And when people continue down that path, it doesn't matter how much they say they're a Christian, as we saw when we were looking at chapter 3, verse 8. They're rejected as the faith is concerned. You can't love the world and love Jesus. And we get another similar story in chapter 4 and verse 14 with a guy called Alexander. Please look me at verse 14. Alexander the metal did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will pay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Now, we're not given details about Alexander the Metal, what he did, but it was against Paul, and more importantly, it was against the gospel of Jesus. Perhaps he thought, one stint in prison is enough for me, thank you. I'm not going to do that again. And therefore, when Paul is back in prison, he puts some distance between himself and Jesus. For Alexander the metalworker, it might have been following Jesus and being associated with this apostle Paul. It was just impacting my business too much. People just knew I was one of those, not just one of those Christians, but one of those Christians who take Jesus seriously. And it was just getting too awkward. And it was affecting my children's opportunities in the future. And it was just too much. When guarding the gospel, people matter. And that's perhaps even more so when standing for the gospel, when people are openly attacking you, whether it be Demas or Alexander or whoever it is. And especially when so-called Christians are attacking you. It's harder when it's from within. And we've known this in a small way since we've started Cornerstone here. I've had one person who doesn't claim to be a Christian. And he came up to me and said, "Oh, so Mike, how's your cult going?" Because we decided to leave the Church of England. Now, I know we're not a cult, that we stand in the historical Christian faith that Christians have believed for centuries. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't nice hearing that cult accusation. It wasn't nice thinking, who else is he saying that to? But you know what really helped me during that time? Week by week, and during the week as well, seeing you, our church family, longing to stick with Jesus. And then another time, another church minister accused me and others of financial irresponsibility at a church we'd been at previously. And he didn't just say that to me. One of our church family members overheard someone talking about this in Gracetown Centre. It was public. Now, this vicar, he didn't approach me and check with me first, and Mike, this is what we're thinking. And when I said, "Could you please give me some evidence for this?" Didn't answer my email at all. There was no evidence produced. I spoke with others who were part of that church when I was there and are still there. And I said, "Did we do financial stuff? Did we do anything wrong financially?" And they went, "No. I don't know what they're talking about." But to have that rumour going round, you sort of think, "Oh." And again, what helped? Fellow brothers and sisters who knew that situation could say, "Those accusations, Mike, they're not even close to being true." Accusations will fly round. And sometimes those accusations might be true. They were true of Demas and Alexander, weren't they? They had abandoned the gospel. But they're not always true, because the accusations flying around about Paul and Timothy. No. But when those accusations are bombing around, we're trying to find out if they're true or not, but also, will we pull away from somebody or will we come to them? Paul is saying to Timothy, "Come to me," verse 9. Just before we move on, I want to just give us a made-up scenario. But one that could happen in the future. Let's just say I was out in Greystown Centre, looking to share the good news of Jesus with people as they walk past. And I got into a friendly conversation with somebody about Jesus and faith. And in that conversation, they asked me, "Mike, if people who are Muslims, well, do they... if they're a Muslim, do they know God? Will they go to spend eternity in heaven?" And they ask you that type of question. And if I replied carefully and gently that Christians believe that Muslims are sadly mistaken and that they need to turn to Jesus and to true faith in him and the one true God. And then half an hour after that conversation, I find a couple of police officers coming up to me. And they say, "We've heard that you've been speaking hate speech against Muslims. Could you please accompany me to the station?" And I find myself under arrest and still in custody 24 hours later. And the story has hit the social media in the local area. I'm not pretending it's going to make national news or anything, but it's hit the story in the local area. And you get sound bites like this: "Islam-hating pastor from Cornerstone Church charged with hate speech. Cornerstone pastor hates all Muslims. Crazy preacher jailed for breaking British values." And that's going round. And then someone at work, or one of your family members, or a neighbour asks you, "Isn't that pastor your minister of your church?" And at that point, you face a question. You might be tempted to think, or say, "He is, but not for much longer. I'm really disappointed in him." Being associated with that so-called crazy preacher is just too awkward. Or do you say, "Yes, he is my pastor. And I know he's perfectly capable of mistakes, but I know in general he's careful about how he says things. I know he doesn't hate people, And he might have said something about Christianity being true and Islam being false. But that's what the Bible says. And me as a Christian, I'm sticking with Jesus. And because of Jesus, I'm sticking with my pastor as well. Now, I know there's lots of other responses as well, but you get the point. And I'm not saying that this is definitely going to happen. A court case happened just this week, which might reduce the possibility of that type of thing of happening, but the threat is still very real. Pulling away, people pulling away like Demas and Alexander, pulling away from Jesus, pulling away from the apostle because of the gospel, or will be like Timothy and Paul, pulling towards each other. As we guard the gospel, people matter. But also, as we guard the gospel, God matters more. Paul felt terribly alone. He needed God's people, but he needed God more. Please look with me at verse 16. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. It was God, in verse 17, who stands with Paul. It was God who gives him strength. And not just strength to keep on believing in Jesus, but the strength to say out loud, I'm a follower of Jesus. And you should be as well. Because verse 17 is almost certainly referring to Paul's pre-trial. He was waiting for trial in Rome, but the custom was to have a pre-trial beforehand, to see if there was anything in the charges, and then if they thought there was, then you'd go to a full trial. And he was waiting. But even in that pre-trial, which would have been through in front of serious top people in Rome, it could have even included Caesar. That was not unusual. Can you imagine? Paul is there. He's in jail because of his Christian faith. And yet, he's in open court, and he speaks about Jesus. That's the reason why he's in jail, but I've got a chance to talk to people about Jesus. And did you say he fully proclaimed the message in verse 17? He didn't just talk about God's love, and God's love is wonderful and amazing. He fully proclaimed it. Jesus died on the cross for your sins, rose again so he could beat death and to give us life now for eternity. I don't know about you, but when I read that and I think about it, I think, oh, I just don't know if I can be that bold. But the problem there is that I'm putting all the focus on my boldness, my strength. When Paul notes it's all, verse 17, God's strength. If you and I end up in jail or in court because of our Christian faith, and you're worried about whether you would stand up for Jesus, at one level, you should be. I don't know about you. I know I'm not strong enough. I'm not. But the Lord is. As we guard the gospel, God matters more because he can make us strong as we need to be. But not just that. At verse 18 again. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, we need to be careful here. Because verse 18, it's one of those verses, if you just read it by itself and not the rest of the Bible, you could read it and sort of think, ooh, here Paul is saying that God will save me from every attack. I'm never going to have a hard time. Whether it's the evil of disease or the evil of poverty or the evil of sin, of every type of suffering. Look at verse 18. God's going to rescue me from it all. But that won't do, will it? Because time and time again in 2 Timothy, in 2 chapters, in 2 Timothy, it is clear that Paul is facing all types of hardships. It's clear that all of God's people will. So what is Paul confident about? It's not about being safe from every type of hardship, because that just doesn't fit. The type of thing he's talking about is the fact that the devil will never be able to successfully attack Paul so that his Christian faith is undermined, so that he'll miss out on the glories of spending eternity with Jesus. It doesn't matter how many Demases or Alexanders desert him and all the pain and sadness that it brings, and it will hurt when that happens. It doesn't matter whether Paul gets his cloak or not. He would like it. But if it doesn't, it doesn't matter whether Timothy actually gets to Rome to see Paul before his execution. Or verse 17, it doesn't matter what lions Paul faces, and whether that's the lions in the Colosseum or metaphorical lions, we don't know. But the Lord will keep him safe for glory. It is God who matters as we guard the gospel. And the question we're left asking is this. As we stand with Jesus, as we long to guard the gospel together here at Cornerstone, where are you most inclined to look for help? For some people, the focus is all on God's people. We need each other to support each other well as we stand for Jesus. And for other Christians, they look loath to the Lord, but play down the encouragement of God's people. I guess for many of us, we probably swing more to one or the other. But God says both. When guarding the gospel, people really do matter. But God matters even more. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that the good news of Jesus is so precious. That it is Jesus who gives us life and forgiveness and eternity and a relationship with you and all the blessings that come with that. And it is great, Father. But it is under attack in our world. In small ways and big ways. It always has been, Father. That's not something that is new. And Father, help us individually and as a church family and with other Christians that we know from elsewhere to stand shoulder to shoulder, side by side, guarding the gospel of Jesus, knowing that we need each other, but knowing that we need you even more and your strength and your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.